And finally, the moment you've all been waiting for, it's the Hoolies Hooli. Ha ha, boy!
It is the Hoolies Hooli, 1240 AM WSBC. It's Saturday night.
Yeah.
For our radio listeners, welcome to the show. We're live at Fitzgerald's, as always. It's Thursday night. A little bit of a late start tonight, but...
We're here. We're doing it.
I don't think the crowd will mind. Bill, we have Vanessa Davis Band is going to be playing tonight at Fitzgerald's. That's at 9 p.m. So that's a show to look out for our radio listeners. If you're out driving around listening to this program, get over here. Check her out. She's a high-energy vocalist. Blues chick.
Very cool.
What a better place to be, you know? We're excited to have her at Fitzgerald's. How's your week going? Pretty good?
Pretty good. The new job, so.
Taking you to all different avenues from all over the world, correct, here in Chicagoland?
Yes, it is. It's been an adventure, nonetheless. I was relocated to the Southside territory.
Yes.
Some good neighborhoods, some bad ones.
Mostly bad is what I've been hearing about from your end of the gripe all week. So how is that treating you? I mean, it's hard getting along, isn't it?
I'm learning about how Walmart works a lot,
yeah.
What kind of a corporation it is. And I have to tell you, I'm not very impressed.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I will be getting along with these people and working with them every day when I go into these accounts and see them.
Yep.
So it'll be an obstacle that we'll both have to get over.
Now, you know what happens to me at work recently is I smoke at work a lot. This is not a good thing, but we do. It seems that everybody in our office is a smoker these days, except for a very select few. Hey, shout out to Kyla Muldoon, who's in the audience tonight. She works with us at Payline.
All right.
There you go. I've been going outside, and there's a guy I see every day. He's got the same thing on every day. He's got a pair of, like, salmon-colored khakis, a sport coat.
Never changes it up, huh?
No, it's the same bit every day.
Okay.
And he looks exactly like Laurence Olivier from Marathon Man. Have you ever seen Marathon Man?
Yeah, where he's pulling Dustin off his teeth out.
Yeah, his name was Zell in the movie. Is it safe?
Right, yeah.
Now, I had to get a snapshot of him because after...
You took a picture of him?
Well, for the first, like, few times I would see him, I'd be having my cigarette, and that's all I could think of was, it's the White Eagle! You know, he's
right
here. It's Zell. He's in Chicagoland. And how do you go up to... I wanted to tell the guy, how do you go up to a guy and go, you know, I guess Laurence Olivier is a decent compliment, but...
Heck yeah, it is.
Not when he was playing one of the most notorious Nazis in film cinema history.
Yeah.
Hey, you look like that Nazi that pulled Dustin Hoffman's teeth out of his head, you know? But he caught me taking a picture of him.
Come on.
Yeah. Which is a weird thing to do. Which is like, I suppose if I had been like a Japanese tourist or something, they'd be like, no, I'm not taking a picture of you. I'm taking a picture of that ashtray over there. We've never seen those before, you know?
I'm sure they have ashtrays in Japan, but yes.
Well, it's yeah, okay.
I get it.
But he looked right at me, and I got a great shot of him. You know, but
did he smile?
No, I awkwardly said, "I go, you look like a guy." No, you know, and he was just like stamped his cigarette out and went to his safety deposit box and called William Devane on the phone and said, "They know." That's a Marathon Man joke.
Okay. Sorry, I went right over my head. I apologize for that.
So that's been my bit. I've seen Zell. I know he's here.
Are you gonna see this guy again then, obviously, right?
Yeah, he doesn't care anymore, I think.
Does he work in your building?
Yep. Yeah, he's probably a zillionaire. We work in a very financial building.
And he wears the same thing every day, huh?
Yeah. I think most millionaires. Didn't Bill Gates wear the same thing every day?
I don't know. You ever seen that Seinfeld?
Not Bill Gates. It was Steve Jobs who wore the same thing every day. That was part of his shtick.
Okay.
He said, you don't need to buy it. When you have billions of dollars, what's the point in changing up?
Have you ever seen the Seinfeld episode where he's dating the girl and every time he sees her, she's wearing the same outfit? So he starts thinking that that's all she... that like he opens up her closet, he sees another outfit. Like he thinks that's all she wears. It's just the same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
You think that guy is like that?
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe, but when I was tending bar for a number of years, it was like black. For a while, I felt like all I wore was people would be like, hey, Johnny Cash just walked into the bar. I'd be like,
oh,
no,
yeah, I was in your
got black pants and a black shirt because I'm a waiter.
Yeah.
It's not my choice. But it became part of the uniform, so I do understand what that when that happens.
Or when people open up your closet, they think you're Dracula. It's just black shirts and black pants.
You know, I remember when we were in a Sport Mart a couple years ago, there was a guy who was walking through the aisles or whatever, and he smelled like unhuman, you know?
Oh, I remember this story, yeah.
Yeah, he was like an old Greek guy or something like that, and he was like, what are these mesh shorts, you know?
Right,
and,
yeah.
But he had an aura about him. Where you turn to me and you go, that guy,
I remember
that guy's Dracula. He's
it was like
here.
Death. Yeah, it was like somebody, death walked in the door. Yeah.
So
yeah,
there are certain dudes in the world who resemble Dracula. Not me, though. But hey, you know what's coming up? Is the Irish American Movie Hooli, our film festival.
Yeah, it is. And we finally finalized the films. And it looks like it's going to be a cool time with our sponsors. We got the Emerald Loop.
Yeah, that's right. Hilton.
The Hilton. It's going to have Two Gingers Irish Whiskey. I want to thank all of them for jumping on board and to make this event a very memorable weekend.
Yeah, we've made the lineup known as well. If you go to the website, HiberniansTransmedia.org/MovieHooli, you can see the lineup. And it's Name Your Poison is the first film. It's about a film directed by a guy named Patty Hayes. What's it about, Bill? Do you know here?
I'm not going to give it away, but it's about a guy. It takes place in the 1930s, Great Depression era. And it's the story, it's almost documentary-esque, and then it goes into...
Documentary-esque, yes.
And then it goes into...
I don't even know if that's a word.
I don't know if it is either, but I'm saying it. And then it goes into kind of a... It's like this guy traces his family's roots in Ireland, and there's a connection to this guy, Mike Malloy, I believe his name, the character's name is, and he's this guy in New York City in the 30s, and... Apparently, you know, he was this guy from the same town in Ireland as the director, Patty Hayes.
Right. So it's a myth.
Kind of a mythological. And then it goes into the plot of the story of Mike Malloy. And he's this guy in, you know, Great Depression time. And he's like a local bar porter.
Right.
And apparently during the 1930s, during the Great Depression, a lot of the business owners would take life insurance policies on everyone they could possibly think of because they were trying to make money immediately on these people. So the story about...
It's not a bad idea because I've worked at Kevel's, and while I worked there for 10 years, people slowly died.
It happens.
Does happen as a bartender. People are like, what happened to Jim? I'm like,
well, you're not taking... This isn't necessarily about bar owners taking life insurance policies on their patrons. This is about a guy that works at this bar, and there's four different guys that get together... And they're all different businessmen within the neighborhood, and they have
a get-quick-rich scheme.
They don't like the guy, but then they're like, all right, how do we kill Mike Malloy and make some dough off of him?
Mm-hmm.
And they try everything to try to poison this guy. They're putting all kinds of chemicals in his booze.
Serpentine.
He won't die.
Mickey Finn's everywhere.
He won't die. Nothing can kill this guy. So I'm not going to give away the rest of the movie. But that's what it's about. Name Your Poison. Very cool film. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's Friday, September 25th at 8 p.m. And the director will be here in person.
Yeah, Patty Hayes coming in from Ireland for it. So that'll be interesting.
And then on Saturday night, we have the Chicago premiere of On Broadway. And that's writer-director Dave McLaughlin's 2000 film, but it's never premiered here in Chicago. It stars Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block, Elijah Dushku, Will Arnett, and Amy Poehler. And Dave will be here in person to discuss all of his filmmaking endeavors. He made a movie that I remember called Southie.
Yeah, I've seen it with Donnie Wahlberg.
Donnie Wahlberg.
It wasn't too bad. I think it was, what's her name? I can't remember. I think
Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan, but I think Kate Mulgrew plays the mother in that movie.
No, Anne Mira, but she's gone now. God rest her soul.
All right.
And then After the Dance will be the Sunday, and that's a Chicago premiere. That'll be at Sunday at 3 p.m., and that's a little family film that I think everybody can enjoy. So come on out to the movie Hooli.
And then go to the Emerald Loop afterwards for drinks.
That's right. Excited about this show. One of my favorite Italian Americans is here tonight. and he's brought Casey McDonough with him, another guy who sings and plays with him in quite a lot of their different groups. Phil Ngotti is going to be on the program.
This is Phil's second appearance on our show.
That's right. And we'll be with Phil when we come back after these short messages.
Big guy. Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from the Jewels. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage, sorry, we don't serve weenies. Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who will be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Yeah, Tom Gorman, he's a good guy. Give him a call.
He's a good guy. Call him.
Legal trouble. I like saying that. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
We are back. It's the Hooli's Hooli, 1240 a.m. WSBC Saturday night live at Fitzgerald's on Thursday night, as always. Come on out to Fitzgerald's tonight, and you can see, who do we have again, Bill? Do we remember? It's the Vanessa Davis Band, and she goes on at 9 p.m. It's $15 a head. Check her out.
Yeah.
Very excited to introduce our next guest. He's an East Sider originally. He's from Avenue L. He's a graduate of St. George Grammar School, if I remember correctly, and Washington High School, and he's been a fixture in the pop and rock scene in Chicagoland for maybe the last,
three years.
Phil's been crushing it for 3 years. He's also the owner of Avenue N Guitars here in Chicago. Please welcome to the program Mr. Phil Engotti, everybody. Phil, how's your summer going?
That's all I could hear. How are you guys?
Good.
We're doing well.
Thanks for doing the program again.
Nice to be back.
Last time we were at the Goldie Burger, one of my favorite spots. Shout out to Mike Sullivan, Una Casey, and the rest of the crew from Goldie's.
I think Phil was our first guest in front of a live audience.
I believe so. I got the Golden Hammer Award. I still have it hanging in my home.
Yep. Awesome. Should be honored. Yep. We're honored.
We are honored. We made it over to Fitzgerald's, and starting from scratch again here. But,
there you go, yeah.
That's the way you do it. I'm excited. Hey, shout out to Dick Schmidt, a Goldie's fixture as well, who also plays with Phil Engotti and their band, the Beatle Brothers, and Casey McDonough in the audience as well. I believe Casey will be joining you as well on a couple of tunes tonight. Is that right, Phil?
That's right. The two of them are going to join me.
Oh, great.
I forgot. Yeah, that's for my Southside buddies. I only talk like that when I've had a couple when I'm hanging with them. You guys are making me feel at home.
What's going on this weekend? We got Beatle Fest Saturday night tonight.
They have it. They renamed it. It's a fest for the Beatle fans, and it's at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, and it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'm doing a show Saturday. Casey will be in the band, and Dickie will be in the band with me.
Yep.
We're going to be doing some Paul McCartney, and then Sunday, these guys are joining me again, and we're going to do a John Lennon set.
Cool.
And that's at Saturday's 5 o'clock and Sunday's 4 o'clock. So if you're at the fest, come see us.
On the Apple stage? Exactly. What time are you guys going on? Do you know?
5 Saturday and 4 Sunday.
Perfect. Now, let me ask, are you going to be playing McCartney songs after he left the Beatles? Or
that's a good question. Like, well, we're going to do a few Wings songs, a couple deep cuts, and a few Beatles. So mostly solo McCartney.
Cool. And same thing for
John,
the Lennon?
It's a split. Yeah, like half and half, yeah.
Who's your favorite Beatle?
I know you just did a
George Harrison thing at City Winery.
Yeah, he's creeping up, man. I love George. I love them all. But no, I think John's my favorite still to this day.
Yeah, I like John too. Now, last time you were here, you played a song that's been on my wheelhouse for a while, Life in Rhymes, and that's the name of your latest album.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I did a live acoustic version of that for you guys, and record did well. I'm remixing that song and a few other songs from my past 4 or 5 records and actually going to put it out in vinyl. We're hoping to do that maybe in October, November.
It's a lovely song. Now, you've played Fitzgerald's a number of times over your years as a musician.
Yeah.
Favorite Fitzgerald's memory, perhaps?
Well, most recently.
It couldn't be this one.
Well, should we tell them about the accordion?
Come on.
No, let's not mention. That's not a favorite memory. I love playing here. I love Bill, all the staff here. I really, honestly, guys, I've had so many great times here. In fact, Casey, Scott Legan,
yes,
and my friend Matt Morin,
yes,
who I've just been playing with now, we call ourselves the What For. We did a show here.
Now, it was the Letter For originally, right?
That's Casey's group. Casey does that with Scott.
Okay.
But we did a little thing called the What For. It was only our second show, and it was for the 4th of July. And we actually were in this bar sitting right here, and we played from midnight to 3 a.m.
On the 4th?
Without a break, yeah.
Oh, and that was during the American Music Festival.
Yes, it was. That was a lot of fun. But no, there were so many... shows here at Guys. I couldn't tell you, but almost every time we play here, we have a really great time.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about Avenue N Guitars, one of your other businesses. It's been going on how long? 9 years?
We just hit our 9th year anniversary, actually, this week.
And where can we find Avenue N Guitars? It's Wicker Park, right?
It's in the heart of Wicker Park, 1823 West North Avenue. That's between Damon and Ashland, if you don't know the area. And yeah, 9 years we're celebrating, which is crazy how fast it's gone. But
so it keeps you connected inside the music community in Chicago, I must admit.
Absolutely.
It's got to be just constant networking all day long.
Yeah, a lot of musicians come by, and get their stuff from us, but you know, we meet a lot of younger bands that we never probably get to meet, and it's a really cool area. I like it there, and it's fun.
Were you in the music store business before? Was this just like a leap of faith you took? You said, boy, I guess I'll get into this side of the business.
Well, my real experience in stores and selling things are hardware. I was in a hardware store when I was a young man.
Yeah.
Like if you need a piece of oakum, I'm your guy. And I cut a piece of glass and threading pipe, I'm your man.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, I always loved guitar stores and everything. But I did work at a vintage guitar store in Chicago for a very, very long time, and then
no Stairway was that the rule?
Well, now it's becoming, unfortunately, Blackbird, because everybody picks up the guitar and plays Blackbird wrong, but
mm-hmm.
Which Paul even pointed out. But I've been doing selling and in the guitar biz for a while, but as far as owning my own store, it wasn't something I thought about it a few times, but I never thought I was going to do it really. I didn't think I'd go through with it.
And it's mostly vintage guitars at your store, is that right?
No, we started off that way. We have a lot of new and like beginner and kind of what we call intermediate price guitars, and that's kind of what's selling now. The vintage market's not.
You picked it up at 7 years old, I believe you told me last time.
I did, yeah. And I haven't put it down yet.
Good.
Wow.
We're glad. You've made some amazing music. How about
still
we
trying to learn how to play the thing properly.
Did you learn on plastic strings?
Classical strings.
That's a good question. No, my first guitar was a toy guitar, but then I got my first really good electric guitar. My mom and dad bought me. It was a little electric guitar. It was a steel string electric guitar.
Okay.
Which I still have.
That was one of the biggest obstacles when I tried to pick up guitar was building the calluses. First of all, I didn't have the discipline to sit down and actually try to practice
very often, right?
Yeah, it hurts. And I was a lefty and I was playing a right-handed guitar and I was like, this isn't working for me. And then my teacher was trying to teach it backwards for me. But then I had a close friend of mine, and he was whipping along, but he had like the nylon strings and he was like, this is how he built up his calluses first. Do you find that when you see young kids that come into a store and ask for a guitar, you give them, do you want to start off on this kind of a guitar?
how do you kind of steer him in the right direction, or is there a right direction?
You kind of have to ask the, especially the kid, like what he's interested in learning. Because like a young guy, for instance, wants to learn electric because that's what he's going to play. So whatever he's going to play more, you want
to
get him on that.
I wanted to learn.
But what you're talking about, nylon string guitars, like in a classical. It is.
Yes.
It
yes.
is actually easier on your fingers. So I don't know if that callus thing makes total sense. But a lot of people do like classical to learn on because it's a little easier.
Yeah.
But it's a bigger neck guitar, so it's kind of a trade-off.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool guitar you brought along tonight. What are we playing tonight?
It's a 1964 Gibson Everly Brothers guitar that I broke at Goldie's a while ago, but it's okay now.
You got it fixed?
I fixed it, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to be back with Phil Angotti. He's going to do some numbers with us tonight with his good friend Casey McDonough.
And
we'll be
Schmidt.
Back on the
Hoolies. And Dickie Schmidt.
And Dick Schmidt. We'll be back after these short messages.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. 15 members of the family still work together every day. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. They're price competitive, and you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your garbage is our bread and butter. Call Brian Flood today at 773-626-5800 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Ed Napleton's grandfather, Edward W. Napleton, opened his first automotive business in 1931 on Chicago's South Side. Today, the Napleton family operates more than 23 dealerships in four states. The Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to work with Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn, reaching out to our Irish-American community. Our friend Eddie Napleton treats the needs of each individual customer with paramount concern. He knows you have high expectations, and Eddie enjoys the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. So drop into Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn when you're looking for a new or used vehicle. Their experienced sales staff is eager to offer you a great deal on a great car. Go to EdNapletonHonda.com to browse their online inventory, schedule a test drive, and investigate financing options. Call Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn at 708-436-0011 or visit them online at EdNapletonHonda.com or in person at 5800 West 95th Street in Oak Lawn. And tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you, and you'll get that same old Southside Irish welcome that Eddie's grandfather started with way back in 1931.
And we're back, 1240 a.m., WSBC, the Hooley's Hooley. It's Saturday night, and we're at Fitzgerald's.
That's right. You can come out to Fitzgerald's tonight. Show's going all night, one in the sidebar and one in the ballroom. You can see the Vanessa Davis Band. She goes on at 9 p.m. Come on out here and check that out.
While we're here and we're waiting for Phil and his fellow musicians to kind of get ready to play for us a little bit, I wanted to take a time out to send my condolences to the Terrell family. For the death of their father, Leonard Terrell, infamous West Side character and a former head football coach at Fenwick High School.
That's right.
A great family man. His wonderful kids, Brian, Lenny, and Katie. So on behalf of the Hooley's Hooley, our condolences
and
to the entire
family. And a big
proponent
of our show on a back.
Yes, he was a big proponent. He loved listening to us. Every time I saw him, he had something pleasant to say. He's going to be missed.
Yeah, he is. You know what I remember? All I can remember, I can hear his voice still screaming at Brian, Brian. It's like that was the running gag all the time. He was just constantly yelling Brian's
name.
He
used to sit on his front porch over in Kenilworth on Oak Park Avenue, and we were probably in like eighth grade or freshman year of high school.
He had the police scanner.
And he had the police scanner, and that would be his like Friday night entertainment. He would just listen to the police scanner.
And he used to tell us that he was listening for us.
Yep.
He was like, I'm
yep.
just making sure you guys
And that actually, one
up.
Time, it was us. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
There was a little melee that took place over on Lindbergh Park.
Yeah.
And we got back to the house. He was like, I heard it all.
And I remember, and Lenny's going to get mad, but I remember Lenny Jr. got sucker punched. He got punched so hard that he fell out of his shoes.
Yeah, but the guy that punched him was like a 25-year-old man, and he was like, 15 or 16?
Yeah, but I remember Mr. Terrell going, say what? He got punched out of his shoes? What?
Yeah, because we couldn't find him. We ran back to the house, and we were like, Lenny got up after getting knocked out, and he was like wandering the neighborhood somewhere.
Yeah.
But the reason he was there, he was our Brian's older brother, and Brian was our friend. He was there to our defense.
Yeah,
he was there to try to help us out, and then he unfortunately took the punch for us. Luckily, if we had gotten hit by one of those guys, that guy might have killed me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
thanks for having our back, Lenny.
That's right. We love you. God rest your lovely soul, Mr. T. All right. Phil and Gotti's back on the program. Phil, welcome. You look like you're all situated here.
Getting there.
We're going to do a quick number. Are Casey and Dick going to join you on this one, or what are we going
to
do?
I think they are. I think they're ready to go. We're going to do something from the Help album.
You're going to be here at Fitzgerald's the 29th, is that right, of August?
Exactly right. We're going to be here 29th, and we're going to be showing the movie Help at
that's
7,
right.
And at 9, we're going to perform the whole UK album.
Wow.
And that's it'll be myself, Casey McDonough, Scott Legan,
yep,
Tony Kidnakis, and Matt Warren.
That's going to be a
so
blast.
So it's going to be a great time. And then the second set will be just whatever we feel like playing. It will mostly be some Beatles, some British Invasion.
August 29th. What time is that again, Phil?
7 o'clock movie, 9 o'clock band. And we'll probably play to midnight, so come on down.
That's going to be a blast. Check that out. All right. Well, Phil, what number do you think we're going to do right now?
What we're going to do, you're going to lose that girl from Help.
Ooh.
You're going to lose that girl. You're going to lose. That girl, if you don't take her out tonight, she's gonna change her mind. And I will take her out tonight, and I will treat her kind. You're gonna lose that girl. You're gonna lose that girl. If you don't treat her right, my friend, you're gonna find her gone. And I will treat her right, and then you'll be the lonely one. You're gonna lose that girl. You're gonna lose that girl. You're gonna lose that girl. I'll make a point. Taking her away from you,
watch what you do.
Yeah, the way you treat her, what else can I do? You're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose that girl. You're gonna lose that girl. You're gonna lose. I'll make a point taking her away from you.
Watch what you
do. Yeah. The way you treat her, what else can I do? If you don't take her out tonight, she's gonna change her mind. And I will take her out tonight, and I will treat her kind. You're gonna lose that girl. You're gonna lose that girl. You're gonna lose that girl.
Yeah.
All right.
Phil Angotti, Dickie Schmidt, Casey McDonough. Lose that girl. That was cool, Phil. I understand you go. Did you do you play with your wife sometimes as well? Did I gather that? Correctly?
Musically, mean?
Yes.
But
no, she's not. No, she's not in the band. She's never. No, she doesn't play any instrument or sing or anything.
Now, who was playing with you? You did Annunciata Fest the other earlier this summer. What was this a couple weeks ago, perhaps?
Yeah,
maybe?
I did. Yeah, that was a couple of friends. George Krall, who's a longtime Beatle Brother drummer with us, and he's from the neighborhood too.
Yeah, Southeast Side.
You may remember a few years ago, Carolyn Engelman, who lives in Berwyn now. She's played keyboards and sang with my original band, and when we've done Paul McCartney and Ram. So maybe you're thinking of Carolyn.
Maybe that's what I saw. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
How is it getting back to the old neighborhood? Do all your old pals show up for you?
It's really great. They're all there. Yeah. I mean, we had a monstrous crowd. Dickie was with us this year again. It's really great. I mean, I just feel bad I can't go down and talk to everybody.
Yeah.
But they do bring us beers on stage, so we have that going for us. But no, it's really fun. Really fun.
Pat, yeah, who was the one of the guys that would come into Duffy's that was a big fan of Phil's?
Oh, that was last time you were on the show. We had Felix.
Felix. Yeah. Oh yeah, Felix. Yeah, he's an old Southsider. Yeah. He was at Goldie's when we did Goldie's there. You know, he was probably at the fest. I didn't see him, but yep. I imagine he was there.
Yeah, that was wild. I had been drinking or working at Duffy's two nights before, and he's like, "You got a radio show?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Who's on?" And I go, "Phil and Guy." He goes, "I know him."
Yeah.
And then he showed up, which was pretty great.
He did.
Do you guys want to go right into another one? Or?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Sure. Do another song. You guys want to do the Devil in the Deep Blue Sea? Did you bring your ukulele? Oh, it's in the car. It's in the car. We'll do that one last then.
All right.
We're going to do another song from Help since we're promoting that.
That's right. That'll be Saturday, August 29th. You can see Phil and Gatti
do Help.
This
is on the flip side. Do we have any percussion? Are you fellas ready?
Oh, yeah.
Two, three, four.
If you let me take your heart, I will prove to you we will never be apart if I'm part of you. Open up your eyes now, tell me what you see. It is no surprise now, what you see is me. Big and black the clouds may be, time will pass away. If you put your trust in me, I'll make bright your day. Look into these eyes now, tell me what you see. It is no surprise now, what you see is me. Listen to me one more time, how can I get through? Can't you try to see that I'm trying to get to you? Open up your eyes now, tell me what you see. Don't you realize now, what you see is me. So tell me what you see. Listen to me one more time, how can I get through? Can't you try to see that I'm trying to get to you? And open up your eyes now, tell me what you see. Don't you realize now, what you see is me. To
How about that? That's Phil and Gatti and Casey McDonough right there. You can see them August 29th at Fitzgerald's. They'll be doing the Help album as long as we're showing the movie. Should be a ball. Hooli's Hooli will return after these quick messages.
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJewel's. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage, sorry, we don't serve weenies.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Todd's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who will be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
And we're back, 1240 a.m. WSBC. Hey, it's the Hoolies Hooli. We're live at Fitzgerald's. Phil Engotti is joining us with Casey McDonough and Dickie Schmidt. And three of my favorite Beatles guys are on the program. We're excited to have them. They'll be here the 29th of August here at Fitzgerald's. We're excited to have that. Bill,
yeah,
I got a story that you'll be into here.
Oh, I'm all ears, man.
An Australian artist has an ear growing out of his arm.
Yeah, what?
And I'll get to that right now.
Okay, please.
A performance artist in Perth, Australia, has something up his sleeve, an ear. For the past 9 years, the artist known, his name is Sturlock. He's been growing a third ear on his left arm in the name of art. He's a performance artist. And he says, as a performance artist, I am particularly interested in the idea of the post-human, the idea of the cyborg, he said.
Uh-huh.
He told CNN, what it means to be human will not be determined any longer merely by your biological structure.
Okay.
But perhaps also determined largely by all of the technology that's plugged or inserted into you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So... He,
how do you grow an ear?
Well, here's how it goes. He had it's an extra ear, and it's made from biocompatible material commonly used in plastic surgery. So he had it like inserted under his skin.
Uh-huh.
So you know how the skin on the underside of your forearm is rather soft?
Sure.
Almost ear-like?
Uh-huh.
it can. So he snuck a prosthetic ear underneath his lobe. Now, this is the kicker. I like this.
Okay.
So he had it, he chose to have it transplanted in the arm where the skin could stretch, obviously, so that soft part, without requiring the prosthetic to be inflated. So that's why he did it on his arm. But his own tissue and blood vessels developed around the ear within 6 months. So now he says that the arm ear is now permanently part of his body. So it's like morphed. So he said the next step is to make the ear look more realistic by making a lobe from his stem cells. Then Sturlock wants to embed a miniature microphone that would be connected to the internet. So he writes, this ear is not for me. I've got two good ears to hear with. This ear is a remote listening device for people in other places. So experiment, he's wanted to put an ear in his arm and then walk around the world where people could log onto his website and hear wherever he was out of that ear.
That
was like
the
third
weird
ear, yeah. So they'll be able to follow a conversation, or he'll, you know, if he was here tonight, people all around the world could hear Phil Engotti somewhere because that guy's got an ear on his arm. But it does remind me of something, growing obscure body parts in weird places, is that when I was a kid, I won't forget this, there was a book in the bathroom.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah.
And the name of the book was called Cock and Bull.
Oh, right? Yes.
And it was about a guy who grew a vagina on the back of his knee.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And it was absurd, and I remember picking it up and going, "Who took this out of the library?"
Yeah, right.
You know, and
I remember it
asking
well
around the house, and finally, I'll never forget. Dad was like, "Ah, that's I just picked that up. I don't know what that is."
You yeah
know? I said, "I think I know what it is," but I remember that we went back to the library, you know, uh-huh, and I was returning like Catcher in the Rye or something.
Yeah,
and the lady was like, are you Mike's son? He owes $44 for a cock and bull. It's overdue.
Come on.
So I've been making jokes about cock and bull for years. I finally did it. I finally looked it up. It's written by a guy named Will Self. No pun intended. I don't know. Yeah. But check that out in your local library if you get a chance.
Yeah. Sounds like a wonderful read.
Yeah. So that's the whole ear story brought me right back to that toilet humor, I guess. All right, Phil Engotti's back on the program with Casey McDonough and Dickie Schmidt. They're also members of the Beatle Brothers quite frequently. And they'll be at this weekend, tonight, technically, Saturday, the Fest for the Beatle Fan. Well, what did we call it? What is it called now,
yeah,
Phil?
Yeah, they changed it on you. It's, you know, it's been, we all know it is Beatle Fest, so.
That's what I always thought it was. Yeah, why did they mess with that?
You know, they were told to. I don't know the technical reason or whatever, or the legal reason, but now it's Fest for the Beatle Fans, and it's the same people that put it on, and
right.
So it's really the same thing.
All right, and you'll be at the Apple stage, and that's going to be at where, the Hyatt?
And that's at the Hyatt O'Hara Regency, yeah.
And 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock for the showtime.
You got it, guys. Yep, 5 o'clock Saturday, 4 o'clock Sunday. So all
McCartney,
down.
McCartney on Saturday, Lennon on Sunday.
Exactly. So, what better reason to do a George Harrison song right now?
Well, awesome. It's fine. Something,
it's actually an old Hoagy Carmichael song.
Did you do this at City Winery when you were playing recently?
We yeah. did. That's a tie-in. Yeah, but George recorded it on his last album. So,
here we go. Phil Angotti, Casey McDonough, and Dickie Schmidt.
Plus, Dickie brought the ukulele. So here we go.
All right.
Yeah. I don't want you, but I hate to lose you. You've got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. I forgive you, 'cause I can't forget you. You've got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. I wanna cross you off my list, but when you come knocking at my door, fate seems to give my heart a twist, and I come running back for more. I should hate you, but I guess I love you. You've got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. Oh yeah. Cross you off of my list, but when your love comes knocking at my door, fate seems to give my heart a twist, and I come running back for more. I should hate you, but I guess I love you. You've got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. I said, you've got me in between the devil and the deep,
the devil and the deep,
the devil and the deep blue sea.
Yeah. I like that one. I always like the George Harrison stuff. I think George might be my guy.
He's great. When we noticed that playing that set that night, picked almost all of his Beatles songs and then some of our favorite solo songs and going, yeah, and this is not their main writer.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's pretty frightening, but yeah, George is great. We love George.
And I got into Lennon. I was never like a giant Beatles fan as them. I think as I started discovering each of their different talents, like then I was like, oh yeah, the Beatles. But Lennon stuff floored me. Wheels, Instant Karma, all that stuff. Yeah. I got real into the John stuff for a while. So you always have your phases over the years, I guess, don't you? Yeah. As a guy who's just Beatles fan, you're kind of like, last time I saw you, you were on a big Buddy Holly kick, if I'm correct.
Yeah, we all do that. I mean, as musicians, we go through things where, oh, this month it's the Birds or you know, somebody that we really are into. And you end up maybe doing a show for Halloween of an artist you haven't done in a while, and reminds you how much you like them, and then you kind of get in a little bit of a role with that. But Buddy Holly's always on our minds, that's for sure.
God rest his soul. Should we go? Let's do it. Can you guys do another one?
Yeah? Sure. So since you guys are kind enough to remember my last album, maybe we'll do an original song.
I like that. I love that idea. It's a wonderful album. Where can our listeners find your album, Phil?
Well,
Life and Rhymes.
Life and Rhymes, I still have some. It hasn't sold out yet.
Yeah.
But if you write, there's two different places you get them from. There's a company called Jam Records, and they carry all of my CDs going way back. There's several of them. They're www. phil.jamrecordings.com, or you could reach me at philangotti.com or on Facebook. And I always bring copies to the show, to my shows and that. So in fact, if I'd be happy to throw a couple your way if you want to give them out to any listeners.
I'd love to.
We'll do that at the end here. So Casey, you want to join me on one?
Sure.
This is off of Life and Rhymes, right, Phil?
This one here is off of People and Places, which is the one previous. So we figured we'd do that one.
All right.
Those are my last two, so. Here's a song about moving boxes of records. Looking through old boxes from the past, never thought these memories all would last. Here inside a room I never go, I try to find some things and hide and would not show. All my old records put away, safely for the day. Spin me round, spinning round, spinning round. I'm going through old letters and some words, a song I never heard, some pictures, how absurd. Time has left them just the way they are, and I'm not very far where I need to start. All my old records put away, all left here safely for the day. Spinning round, spinning round, spinning round, spinning round, spinning round, spinning round. Going through my memories once again, all the favorite things I had since I was 10. Can't believe that all this junk is still here, yet I save it all, my dear, for at least another year. But all my old records put away, safely for the day. All my old memories put away. Said all my old records put away. Records put away. Records put away. All my records put away. All my records put away.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. Phil and Gotti, everybody. Is that called All My Old Records Blew
It's
Away?
Called My Old Records.
Love it.
Think about it when you move, right? What's important, but what's the most heavy thing you
have? Uh-huh.
Boxes, yeah, of records, right?
Books, yeah, I know. Are you still a big record collection guy?
I am. I buy vinyl all the time when I can. There's some great record stores in my neighborhood, but I've always just loved the covers, the artwork, and the sound of them, too. So, like, if you come into our shop, yeah, 90% of the time we're spinning old vinyl. And then that's my new little job. I spin vinyl at Delilah's a few times a year. It's a gas. It's really fun.
Now, do you bring your own record collection when you do that? And you just kind of get to showcase what you want to play DJ that night? Kinda.
Yeah, and it'll be a theme night. It'll be, like, say, all Lennon or Stones. Like, recently I did all 1967, which was fun because it's
the year.
Such a, yeah.
Oh, that would have been
it's fun. Stuff like that.
That's cool. I like that. Hey, radio listeners, if you're out there arriving around in your car tonight, you can come to Fitzgerald's at 9 p.m. and see the Vanessa Davis Band. I encourage you to come see her. She's great. Big blues personality here in Chicago. Yeah. She'll be with her band, the Blues Twisters. So,
hey, I just saw a thing in the paper. When you were growing up, what was the thing your parents would always say, you know, you better eat your what when you were having breakfast? if you want to be strong during the day.
Your Wheaties, right?
You would eat your Wheaties, right?
And it or was, Cheerios, I guess, but right. Wheaties was the breakfast of champions.
So it was
right?
The breakfast of champions. Well, Wheaties has teamed up with a craft beer company in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So now it's going to be, there's a new Wheaties beer, the beer of champions. Did you ever think you'd hear anything like that?
No, but it's a marketing genius,
it really
I suppose.
Is. So it's going to be called Hefty Wheaties, I guess. Hefty, I don't know how if I'm Heffenweisen. I'm sorry, I'm getting corrected by someone in the audience. Hefty Wheaties. There it is, yes. And... Yeah, that's going to be, but it's only going to be limited to, I guess, Minnesota. So if you know anyone in Minnesota, ship some of that stuff here.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to say that I drink the beer of champions.
Here's something I saw the other day. It's kind of an argument going on in the media. It's, did Shakespeare smoke weed? And the evidence is dubious. One expert, Shakespearean expert, thinks that we doth be making too much of the claim, though. Was Bill Shakespeare high when he penned his plays, to ask a Saturday headline from The Independent? Well, in July, a team led by Francis Thackeray, an anthropology professor at South Africa's University of Whitewater Sand, that sounds made up,
yeah,
found that four pipes unearthed from Shakespeare's garden, dating them back from the 17th century, they contain traces of cannabis. Okay,
really?
Yeah. Also Shakespeare's sonnet 76 makes a mention of a neuted weed and compound strange as possible proof that the bard liked to toke up a little bit. But now he's not so convinced. His name is Jimmy Shapiro. James Shapiro, he's a Columbia University professor. And he goes, hey, we don't know what Shakespeare did or didn't do, he told this news outlet. Just because these pipes were found in his garden doesn't mean his neighbor kid didn't throw the pipes over the fence. there's a million possible explanations for this. Yeah. So centuries later, they're still blaming the kid next door. That could have been a great Shakespearean play.
Hey, what about Shakespeare smoking pot?
About Shakespeare's pothead next door neighbor, like that's the beginning, you never know.
Good comedy.
Yeah, I would have liked to have met, hung out with Bill Shakespeare.
Had a couple beers of champions with him.
Beer of champions, yeah. All right, well, Phil Angotti's been our guest, and I can't be more thankful that he came out.
Absolutely.
Round of
it's
applause
been a
for Phil Angotti for the
it's
people that are
an
here.
Honor.
I think that we're nearing the end of our show. Bill, any other events we got going on this weekend we want to talk about? I was at Big Guy Sausage Fest.
Oh, yeah, tell me a little bit about that. How'd that go?
Had a ball. Every year they do a wonderful thing there, and we're looking forward to next year's. They had a bouncy house.
Yeah, you brought Charlotte up there.
I did, and it was kind of, Charlotte didn't, we got there and it was amusing for like a minute, and she started crying, and she came out of the bouncy house, and her... kids say the darndest things, don't they?
Yeah.
And she goes, that big fat lady says I fell on her kid, and like right in front of the lady. And I'm like, oh no, like we're gonna get bounced out of here from hanging out in the bouncy house within 10 minutes.
So what'd you do? Get her a hot dog and say, go sit over there?
Yeah, it's one of those situations like, all right, disassociation principle. And then
disassociate yourself from your own kid? I don't know.
Yeah, for
her.
A couple seconds.
I don't know that
kid.
Hey, kid,
come over here. and then I got her a hot dog, and, it was fun, and they had entertainment and all the other, fun stuff.
I went up to...
real melting pot scene there. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, all different walks of life. You got bikers and kids, and it's fun stuff. It's the kind of stuff I dug when I was a kid.
Great people watching.
Yeah, exactly.
I went to Lake Geneva last weekend to kind of unwind.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, I was shucking some corn. Did some corn shucking.
Yeah.
Bridget was kind of laughing at me because I was like, what are we doing here? And she was like, you just pull it off, man.
Was that the first time you've ever done that?
I'd sad to say yes. I had never done it before. So I'm not a very I didn't feel very worldly, even though I grew up in the Midwest. I had never shucked corn before, but I did see Vacation.
Oh, yeah. The new movie, the new remake. Yeah.
Stick to the original.
Yeah, well.
I wasn't that impressed. The opening credits, I was laughing my butt off at, but then...
Did they do a Hollywood role?
I'll let our listeners be the judge when they see it, but I'm not going to give it 3 stars. I'll give it 2.
All right. That's Bill's review of the
there it is.
Vacation.
There's my Vacation. Eh.
Sequels are never
as good. You know what you should do is the 29th, and this weekend you can head out and see our guests tonight, Phil Angotti and Casey McDonough and Dickie Schmidt. They'll be at the Beatle thing at the Hyatt. I'm going to botch that thing over and over now.
Oh, yeah, you are.
It's at the O'Hare Hyatt. They'll be on the Apple stage for... It used to be called Beatle Fest, and now it has a more PC thing. I don't know. Exactly. So you can see them this weekend.
Also,
tonight.
I wanted to do a quick shout-out to Timothy Mufasa Harris, who was our guest last week.
Yes.
He's in his competition over at Duffy's on Monday nights. It's the finals this upcoming Monday night. Get out there and vote for him. It's called the Big Break Bar One Big Break Vocal Competition. And it's at Duffy's at 420 West Diversity and Sheridan. Isn't that weird? 420, and we were just talking about Shakespeare smoking pot. Whoa! So, yeah, get out there and support Timothy Mufasa Harris as he tries to win the competition.
All right.
And let's close out the show with Phil Angotti and Casey McDonough.
How's it going? Sing along, guys.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on, feeling 2 foot small. Everywhere people stare, each and every day. I can see them laugh at me, and I hear them say, "Hey, you got to hide your love away."
That's right, let him hear you.
Hey, you got to hide your love away.
All right, lads.
How can I even try? I can never win. Hearing them, seeing them in the state I'm in. How could she say to me, love will find a way? Gather around all you clowns, let me hear you say. To hide your love away. Hey, you got to hide your love away.
Sing along, folks.
Thank you, Phil Angotti, Casey McDonough. Come see them this weekend at Beatle Fest at the Hyatt Hilton. They'll be on the Apple stage at 9. This has been the Hooli's Hooli. Thank you.